Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable. So we are back and we are ready to talk about the specific quotes that we have for our four nice selections this year.
Which are?
We're going to talk about Jane Eyre selections first.
Okay.
And so quotes that have always stuck out to me that I remember, I went looking for them. Here's one. Because, he said, he being Mr. Rochester, I sometimes have a queer feeling with regard to you, especially when you are near me as now. It is as if I had a string somewhere under my left ribs, tightly and inextricably knotted to a similar string situated in the corresponding quarter of your little frame. And if that boisterous channel and 200 miles or so of land, some broad between us, I think it is come broad between us, I am afraid that that cord of communion would be snapped. And then I have a nervous notion that I should take to bleeding inwardly. As for you, you'd forget me.
I like that one, yeah.
Yeah, the reason I like this one is if we do follow up with the theme of love, it fits there. Mm-hmm. But also, if I were a textiles artist, I'd be excited about this string going on.
Yes, yes.
I think that image has a lot of artistic
And there's potential. Landscape imagery in there, too. You know, there's a lot of, there's a lot in there. And I think the emotion in there is really rich too. And I have to say, I because we've been talking kind of about the pandemic situation and everything, I felt that passage had good relation to a lot of feelings that people have right now, especially if they've had to be separated from their loved ones.
That's true. You know,
or there's a fear of being separated from their loved ones. So I like that passage. What else you got?
Okay. Because I personally really enjoy the passages with St. John, for you readers at home, is a character at the end who proposes to Jane, but has a very different opinion of love. And so this is Jane saying, I scorn your idea of love, I could not help saying, as I rose up and stood before him, leaning my back against the rock. I scorn the counterfeit sentiment you offer, yes, St. John, and I scorn you when you offer it. So, honestly, I like this more for the drama. I think the passage itself is hard to get much art out of.
Without context, you know, it stands alone in the scorn, and you get that, you know, she's emphatically saying, whatever you're offering me in your language of love, I reject, you know. And not only do I reject it, but I scorn it. I mean, that definitely comes across. Context-wise, that would be a good passage for, you know, a workshop to go further into that scene, who he is, what he's offering, all that. So I like it for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be one of our main quotes.
No, but I like it.
The next one, I am no bird, this is Jane talking, I am no bird, and no net ensnares me. I am a free human being with an independent will. And for that one, I think if I go back to the text, we might be able to get a little bit more to set that up. I think the bird and the net imagery would work. And I love the feminism about it.
Yeah.
And the idea that you can't force somebody to love you. I like that part of it.
And especially since given the time period that this story supposedly takes place, you know, when, you know, the setting, you know, women as the little bird-like bird in a cage, go to the cage, you know, that's very evocative too. She's rejecting that cultural norm, you know. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I like that one.
Again, it's not my favorite of the ones I've selected, but I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. And then, well, there's a lot of I'm not things that I've selected.
Yeah, it's okay. Sometimes that's the best way to describe who you are, you know. Yeah.
I am not an angel, I asserted, again Jane talking, and I will not be one till I die. I will be myself, Mr. Rochester. You must neither expect nor exact anything celestial of me, for you will not get it any more than I shall get it of you, which I do not at all anticipate. So I like like this, because this is at a point in their relationship where he has put her on a pedestal,
right.
And she absolutely rejects that. And so, yeah. Again, I think that if we wind up talking about the nature of love, about, you know, her self-assertion of who she is,
yeah.
I like it for that reason. I don't get a lot of images from it, though.
But I'll tell you something. In relation to, for example, Gone with the Wind, which we'll talk about later, you know, Jane is self-aware. She knows she's bucking the norm. She's not the bird in the gilded cage. She's not the angelic woman of the cultural norms of her day, and that even Mr. Rochester has, you know, kind of tried to see her in that frame. As opposed to Scarlett, who has no clue who she is. She just bulldozes her way through life. Virtually, lack of self-awareness is like a key component of her character, which makes it a very interesting thematic thing in the story, is that she goes through all these things where she is doing exactly what Jane has just literally said out loud. She's doing all that without knowing she's doing that. You know, and so that would be an interesting comparative, you know, between those two books that one of our books that we have chosen is Gone with the Wind. So, you know, that interests me. I like it.
I really like that angle on that, Alice. That could be really fun to
explore.
That
is a good quote that would work in a lot of ways. And I immediately visualized, you know, people, artists painting or somehow depicting two faces of women, or, you know, two, you know what I mean? The dichotomy here of self-aware and lack of awareness. But, you know, there's a lot going on in there without our usual visual language, you know, in the passage. So, okay. That's a good
one. The last one I really like, too, is like the feminist anthem that you can get from Jane Eyre.
All right, here we go. Yeah.
It is in vain to say human beings ought to be satisfied with tranquility. They must have action, and they will make it if they cannot find it. Millions are condemned to a stiller doom than mine, and millions are in silent revolt against their lot. Nobody knows how many rebellions, besides political rebellions, ferment in the masses of life, which people... Sorry, I lost my line. Which people... Okay, I think I just wrote, which people earth. Okay, that's clearly a typo. I'm going to move along.
Yeah.
Women are supposed to be very calm, generally, but women feel just as much as men feel. Feminist anthem?
Yeah.
They need exercise for their faculties and a field for their efforts as much as their brothers do. They suffer from too rigid a restraint, too absolute a stagnation, precisely as men would suffer. And it is narrow-minded in their more privileged fellow creatures to say that they ought to confine themselves to making puddings and knitting stockings, to playing on the piano and embroidering bags. It is thoughtless to condemn them or to laugh at them if they seek to do more or learn more than custom has pronounced necessary for their sex.
I like that one a lot. I know it's a little bit longer, but I think there's a lot of thought that we could work with on that. And I think for all the things I just said about the previous passage in relation to Gone with the Wind still apply, even more so, I think. And I do like the feminist anthem, as you said, the, you know, shout it loud and proud. She's putting it, you know, in black and white, you know, words for us. I also heard echoes of, again, our current pandemic situation in there. That passage has a lot to do with humans needing activity, humans needing, you know, and I know she's doing the, especially women need to be seen as equal to men in the action and the, you know, what we do and everything, but I feel like that passage could speak to this period that we're in right now, trying to come to terms with being less active, you know, with, you know, the challenges of, you know, our culture has, you know, grown from that time period that Jane Eyre is set in. So, you know, even with women are, you know, certainly not completely equal to men, I don't think, in the real world, let's just be honest. But, you know, we're all having to, like, take a step back from our normal, active, outside lives. And I think that passage is a stepping stone to that conversation, too. I feel like that hits everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think that's my favorite passage of the ones that you've offered here.
I would be willing to go ahead and why don't we save the first and the last one?
Yeah.
We'll meet the other ones, and then as we find ones we like in the other books,
we come back.
Then we can decide what.
Yeah, and for those of us out there who are our audience for this discussion, that is often what we do. We'll narrow down. We usually have up to even maybe 10 passages per book once we've chosen our books. So we might be looking at 40 passages total, and we narrow per book. We narrow it down to a couple, and then we'll come back and narrow it down again. And so that's our process. So that's our first narrowing down for Jane Eyre. Yay! Down to two! This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.